You need to be excited about God's Word. God's Word will make your ministry limitless. Goodbye, Melody. Have a good class. Praise the Lord. Yes, she is. Yes, she is. Praise God. Praise God. Welcome, Jeremy. Praise God. You're going to be my cheering section today, right? Every time I point at you, you're going to say, "Amen, Pastor, preach it," right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We are still in the midst of the same things we've been teaching you about love. We got to remind ourselves sometimes. Sometimes, you know, if somebody gets into a series, somebody said, "How long are you going to be on this series?" Well, let me ask you a more pertinent question. More pertinent question is, are you doing everything that we know about love so far? And how much do you know about love? You know, if you were gauging it and you had to estimate today, how much do I know about love? Yeah, I think so. How much do you... Well, here's the way to decide it. How much do you know about God? Yeah. "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him." And that's just the preparations that He's made for us. That's not speaking about the things that He is and does. He's mighty. A mighty, great, gracious God. You know, who can imagine a God as great and mighty as our God is? Extreme, powerful, wonderful. Uh-oh, there goes my cheering section. Praise God. Well, just one time, Jeremy. Jeremy?
Yeah.
Just one time. What is it you're supposed to say?
"Amen, Pastor, preach it."
There you go. That'll keep me going through the service now. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you today about fulfilling the law. I want to fulfill the law. How do you suppose you could fulfill the law? Well, we've talked about this already, so it's no secret. And you know, what are we talking about? We're talking about God. And when we're talking about God, we're remembering that God is love. And so we challenged you last week as you read through Scripture this week to set your mind on things like that. And you can go ahead and put that Scripture up, Matthew, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. Bible says, "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Have you been taught to love one another? Where did you get your teaching? Where did these Thessalonians get their teaching from God to love one another? Listen to what he said. He says, "As touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you." I don't need to write to you about brotherly love. Just the same, I'm going to do a little bit of it, but that's what he says. You don't have any great need that I write unto you about it, because you've already been taught by God to love one another. Where did God teach us to love one another? Does God teach us? Maybe He was lying.
He does by the way He loves us.
What?
He teaches us by the way He loves us.
Well, that's good, but actually, that's not what He's telling them about right here, but you're right. But God really told the children of Israel in the Torah to love your neighbor as yourself. Where is that? Where is that found? You all ought to know that. See, we know Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, and probably some of you don't know that, but you should know that. But where is the command to love one another in Scripture? There's more than one. But the first one, Leviticus 19, 18. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Right? So you need to know that. You need to know Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. And you shall love Yahweh your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your being, with all of your resources. You need to love. We need to know those things. He says, you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. I believe that what Shaul is saying here, writing to this church in Greece, Thessalonica was in Greece, probably still is. But he said, you've been taught of God to love one another. Yes, he's writing to a messianic congregation, but he says you've been taught of God because they had previously been taught to love one another. And he says this in verse 10, and indeed, say indeed. I like to stop with that word indeed because indeed means something, doesn't it? What does indeed mean, Bethany? Indeed. Sorry about that, but I just felt like picking on you. Indeed. What? In doing. That's right. In our doing. In action. Indeed. In action you do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that you increase more and more. Do you love people? Are you doing it? Yes. I beseech you to increase more and more. Are you starting to catch on to what we're doing here about love and how that love is the basis for revival? How love is the basis for faith? Faith works by love. Are you doing it? Yes, we're doing it, Pastor. Do it more and more. Do it more and more. Do it more and more and more and more. You remember our base scripture that we started with from Yeshua's sayings was a new commandment I give unto you. That you love one another as I've loved you. That you also love one another. By this, verse 35 says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. And yet John tells us, when he's talking about this commandment, he says, and now I beseech thee, lady, in 2 John 1:5, he says, now I beseech thee, lady, who's he talking about? Who's this lady he's talking to in 2 John? Anybody know? Who's the lady that John's talking to in the second epistle? He's talking to the bride, isn't he? He's speaking to his bride, to the bride of Yeshua, the bride of the Messiah. He says, I beseech you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning. That's what he's saying. He's saying this goes all the way back. It goes all the way back. We knew, I believe that God put in Adam the knowledge to love. It was there. That knowledge was there. It had to be perverted. It had to be perverted to get where things are like they are today. Did you know that? Sin had to come into the world. Adam knew it. And so I believe, I kind of come to the place where I believe the Torah has always been, it's just being greatly revealed as time goes on. But it's always been. Abraham knew things that to him were law before any law was written, didn't he? Where were they? They were in his understanding, knowing God. So this is what John says. We had this from the beginning that we love one another. And we talked about it a little bit before. Where's the new come in then? A new commandment. John says we had it from the beginning. And Shaul, Paul says that to the Thessalonians, you were taught of God to love one another. Yeshua says it's new. Well, you know, there is a new part in what he says. Isn't there? What is the new part in what he says in John 13:34? Let's look at it again. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That's all old, right? What's the new part? What? Say it out loud with me. As I have loved you. What did he add in? What's added that wasn't there before? People didn't know this before. What was it?
As I have loved you.
As I have loved you. Which means what? How did he love us?
Sacrificial.
Sacrificial love. Sacrificial. We're talking about a new level of love here, aren't we? A new level. Why? Why couldn't they have done this before?
Because
What?
The sacrifice hadn't been made.
The great sacrifice hadn't been made, and because the great sacrifice hadn't been made, what couldn't happen? Until the sacrifice, once for all, with Yeshua's body on the stake, what couldn't happen for us? That's right. There was no... In fact, if you want to get down to how has Torah changed... You know, there's some people that have got this thing all set up with a great big barrier. Old Testament. Wall. New Testament. It's not that way. But there was a great difference. Because the Spirit of God could not take up residence in people until the sacrifice of Yeshua, the once-for-all sacrifice, had happened. And then, after the cross, after the sacrifice, God could love through us because His Spirit could indwell us. Could never happen before. So really, the salvation that people had on the prior side of Yeshua's sacrifice was strictly by a looking forward to that sacrifice, wasn't it? By being obedient in what they did know. And thus, looking forward to and putting trust in, how was Abraham justified? By faith. So is everyone else justified from Adam onward? The only way to be justified was by trust, by faith. So now we see that there's something happened. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. The Spirit of God now indwells you. You now have inhabiting you a God nature. So that you can actually love as He loved us. Could we do it before? No. Did that mean that there couldn't be any sacrificial love? No, there were times of sacrificial love before. But to love as God loves with the actual intensity was kept away from men. Couldn't be in us because the Spirit of God wasn't in us. But now we can love beyond loving ourselves as ourselves. I love you as myself. No, I love you beyond as myself. I love you as Yeshua loves you. I love you in the same way He loved me. The same way He gave Himself for me. I can now love that way. Is that a natural love? Well, we need to know this. Is it natural once you're born again? Is it just natural to love that way? Well, let's put it this way. It takes a lot of putting other things aside to do it, doesn't it? It takes a lot of putting self aside to do it. But we do read of cases where people do love sacrificially, don't we? And some of them may or may not be with Christian love, but I wonder how many, it really, you know, when you read of a man throwing himself on a grenade for his buddies, I wonder how often that really, if you knew the truth and heard the whole story, that you might find that that man really was a believer, one that loved the Lord. I don't have any statistics to offer you on that, but it's just something that I begin to know. You know, there's a lot of little things that if you really begin to study them, you find out that all of the scientific discoveries that we have, major scientific discoveries, you would be amazed if you knew statistically how many of those came from Spirit-filled believers or people that really were given over to the Spirit of the Lord, or even second best to that, some of them are the children of these people. That they just seem to get revelation. So hope makes not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad. Right now, shed abroad. Say shed abroad. Now what that tells me is I haven't got just a little bit of this going on inside. I got a lot of it. I got love to spare, brother. Do you? We got love to spare. You know what I'm saying? It's shed abroad in our hearts. Does that speak of profuse abundance to you? Someone that's shed abroad? When I shed something abroad, that means I've got a lot of it, right? If I go about shedding abroad money, you better believe I'm going to have a lot of it, right? To shed it abroad. But we're talking love, something much more valuable than money. Something far beyond money. Something much greater than we've ever had before. The Holy Ghost is given unto us, and we can now love beyond loving as ourselves. We can love with sacrificial love. Look at the next part of this, fulfilling the law. Galatians 6:2. What does it say? Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of the Messiah. Isn't that right? Is that possible? If I'm just bearing someone else's burdens, if that's my lifestyle to bear, I'm fulfilling the law. Well, is that loving my neighbor as myself? Is that loving my neighbor as Yeshua loved me? That's the question. By the way, did Yeshua love you as he loves himself? Yes, and more. And more. He loved you far beyond loving himself, didn't he? In fact, he had to put himself secondarily to it. Here's the problem. When sin came in, the worldly way came in, didn't it? Hasatan in the garden knew what he was doing. He was taking control of all of the great authority that God had given unto Adam. He took that control and he began to pervert it. And where there was love that was unilateral, suddenly it became a self-love. Why? Because that's Satan himself, isn't it? Isn't Satan a self-lover? And so what was the first words we heard in the garden that started showing people weren't concerned about other people? Anybody think of those first words we heard? Maybe it wasn't in the garden, but in the time of creation. You'll know them immediately when I say it. Abel was a man of the flocks, and Cain was a sower of seeds. Abel offered a sacrifice to God. Isn't it amazing how they knew to offer sacrifices? That's why I say, you just have to know there had to be Torah in their hearts. There had to be a teaching that was going on, an instruction in their hearts. He knew to offer a sacrifice. Cain brought some of his fruit. And it's been taught that because there was no blood in it, there was no sacrifice. I don't believe that was it. I believe it had to do with an attitude of the heart. And it was shown immediately when his sacrifice wasn't accepted. So what happened? Cain killed Abel, didn't he? What did he say about it? God says, Cain, where's Abel, your brother? What did Cain say? Am I my brother's keeper? I don't believe that any of us know how much this has pervaded modern thinking. I believe this is satanic from the beginning, demonic, insidious. You name the negative adjectives, you can come up with all of them. And yet, how many times do we hear people say things like this? Don't get involved. Don't get involved. I didn't want to get involved. I saw a man, I didn't see it, but a fella told me one time, he was down by the Capitol building, and he said, I saw a man attacking a woman in the park, and I didn't want to get involved. What'd you do? I just didn't want to get involved. You see, nobody says that maybe he had to run over there and throw himself on a knife, but he could have gotten involved another way, couldn't he? He could have made some noise. Maybe he could have run over there. I don't know. But I didn't want to get involved. I've remembered that for years and years and years. This fellow told me that. I just didn't want to get involved. I like the guy. I like him today. But that's what he told me. Have you been in a place where you didn't want to get involved? Why? Well, because it's a way to be looking out for you, isn't it? There's safety in it. Are we supposed to get involved? Did you know it takes being involved to preach the gospel to people? Doesn't it? I think that's one of the reasons we don't preach very well. I think we don't want to get involved. And you know, sometimes you see somebody hurting and you don't want to help them because you think, now what is this going to turn into? Here, I'm going to give this fellow some money and see to his needs. Now, is he going to be coming back next week for more? Possibly. Just because you give to somebody, that does, you know what that's like? That's like the legalist way of salving conscience just by giving and here, I'll get it out of the way. No. We want to help. We want to become involved. We want to become involved in people's lives. And, you know, I told the story a number of times here that walking through this place a number of years ago praying, I was speaking, North, give up. South, hold not back. To the east and the west, bring forth the sons and the daughters of God into the kingdom of God. And that has a tremendous amount of power to it, I believe, when you begin to see what that is. You speak to the north and the south. And you begin to see that God will bring in people that are hurting, people that are in need, people that are needing help. And the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me very clearly in my heart. And I don't mean that I heard an audible voice, but I just had the strongest impression. What kind of people do you want in your church? What kind of people would you like in your congregation? And my mind immediately said this. That's a trick question if I ever heard one. I better be careful how I answer this. But I did answer it. I began to let the Spirit of the Lord work on the inside of me. And I said, Lord, send me the halt and the maimed and the blind and the hurting and the dying and those that no one else cares for. Send me the AIDS patients. Send me the alcoholics. Send me the drug addict, send them to me. And send me two or three bankers, two or three doctors and lawyers, and people that can finance this kind of work. We need to get involved. Am I my brother's keeper? Well, I'd never say that to God. No, but we do in our actions many times act like, I just don't want to get involved. I want to make a living, work with my own hands and make enough to get by and die and go to heaven. No. That's not why we're here. We're here to help. We're here to fulfill the law. Say, fulfill the law. You believe in fulfilling the law? Boy, I do. I believe we have to fulfill the law. Well, I know what you're saying. You're saying I can't fix everything. True. Look around. We've got a bucket out here today for Burma. But you know, we could have a bucket for China. Right? By the way, be careful where you give money. Many reports are coming back of tremendous scams. People are acting like they're sending relief money and the relief is going into their bank accounts. So watch what you do. But we do have a way to get money into Burma that I know it will get. I believe it'll get places where it would never get otherwise through any kind of a national giving if we give it through the Happy Family. They'll get that money in there and they'll get it on the ground where people are hurting. So we do that. But, you know, there's also, just this morning, there was another earthquake in Colombia. Large earthquake. There was an aftershock in China that they figured destroyed thousands more homes. And I think they were talking in the hundreds of more deaths. Think of that. There's a lot to do. And then, right over on the Front Range, did the winds get pretty close to you?
Yeah.
Did you see the funnels? Or?
No, we didn't. The skies were black.
Wow. She lives in Loveland. But you know, that's not far away from us. A town about a mile, isn't it about a mile square? They figure it's just destroyed. Mostly destroyed. Think of it. A lot of people out of their homes. Is it wrong to help them? No. We should be looking to help people like that. But you know what happens pretty quick? You start saying, I can't do everything. Is that right? Yeah, it is right. But you see, here's the problem. Too many times we just say, I can't fix everything, so I'll just take care of me. I'll just say, oh, poor people, isn't that too bad? Lord, help them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them real good, God. What's wrong with that prayer? Nothing. Except, am I willing to be a part of that? Are you open? You know, real believers, say real believers. I'd like to see the hands of real believers. Could I see the hands of the real believers here? I'm not looking for any fake believers, just real believers. The real believers here. Real believers want to fix things. No, that's not some special ministry. That is being a believer. Loving as Yeshua loves. We want to fix things. We want to fix things. How do we want to fix it? Well, a real believer wants to fix it with his faith. Use his faith to fix the needs of other people. I want to use my faith to fix the needs of other people. You know, through the years, we used to keep charts around that showed us how we were doing. And we were sending thousands and thousands of dollars outside of these church walls and to missions. And just in, I don't know how long ago, we were sending over to Israel to help the children over there and to help people make aliyah over there. And that's been a mark of our body, is to send money to missions. To send a lot of money outside of this body and help people. Did we make a dent? Well, it depends on how big a dent you're looking at. But I can say, yes, assuredly, we made a dent. But here's the important part. I can't fix everything, but what can I do? I can fix something. And how can I be assured that I'm fixing something in the right way? To let the Lord lead me in what I do. And so, you know, I believe some of you are going to really have a heart to do something for Burma. Maybe everybody in the church will have a heart to do something. And, you know, maybe somebody will even want to go over and volunteer on the front range and help over there. I don't know. But I just know that there are different things. I can't fix everything, but I can fix the part that God's given me to do. Right? I can do my part. It may be small. But you know what the Bible says? Don't look at your ministry as small. Don't even call it small. No longer shall you be called small, he said. Forget about that. People look at this church and say it's a little church. It's a small church. It's a tiny church. Well, you know, if you want to use that, why, go ahead. But you know, that's not the key. Jeff said it this morning. God's never been concerned about how big the congregation is, has he? He's concerned about how big their heart is for him. That's what he wants. I believe we'll grow. I'm in favor of growth. Are you? Let's find out. Is there anybody here not in favor of growth? Maybe that's the problem. Everybody here want to grow? Praise God. Amen. We want to grow. Praise God forever. So, we can't fix everything, but we can do our part, and especially we can do what the Holy Spirit on the inside of us directs us to do. Wouldn't that be a part of love being shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit? Would be to carry out the functions of the things that He's directed us to do. Hallelujah. You know, there is, I believe, a possibility that we can become, all of us, sacrificial in our giving. And when I'm talking about giving, I'm not talking just about your money. Please understand this. I'm talking about yourself. The Bible says that there's a group in the book of Acts that were more honorable than the rest. They first gave themselves. Actually, I'm merging two verses there, so I'll have to back up a little bit. It talks about a group of people that first gave themselves. The other group was more honorable because they searched the scriptures to see if those things they were being told even by the apostles were true. But you can do that too. That's certainly a good idea. But we can come to a higher level. We said Yeshua loved us beyond loving as Himself. He loved us beyond Himself. He loved us more than Himself. He gave Himself for us. You say, but He had a promise of resurrection. So do you. I said, so do you. And he even showed us it works. Right? Resurrection works. And you're going to be resurrected. Sometimes people act like dying is the worst thing that could happen. You know, I'm talking sacrificial love. Do you ever think that way? Have you ever just stopped for a second and said, you know, if the worst thing that could happen to me happened, what would happen? The worst possible thing that could happen to you in this earth as a believer, if the worst thing that could happen happened, what would happen?
Yeshua was saying, depart from me, I never knew you.
Well, that would be if you weren't a believer, right? That would be the worst thing. But as a believer, What's the worst thing that could happen to you?
Be crucified upside down after you watch your family killed.
And all of you would be together instantaneously after that in heaven, wouldn't you? That would be a horrible fate.
That's what happened to Peter.
That's right. How would you like that? At least that's what Fox's Book of Martyrs says happened to him. I'm not quite sure Fox had all the answers on that, but he may have. But the point is, that would be a horrible way to go. Well, that would be bad. That would be bad. But that ain't going to happen. Here's what I'm saying to you. You know, we act like death is the end of things sometimes. Death's not an end. Because we'll not be separated. The second death that Jonathan talked about, that would be tragic. That would be the worst thing I can imagine. But as a believer, as one who has the promise of eternal life, you know, and here's what I'm saying this for, is because sometimes I think we go to great pains to protect our lives. And it's right that we should be wise about our lives, but there are times when people shouldn't. How many of you think that it's honorable for someone to throw himself on a hand grenade for his buddies? You believe that's honorable? I do too. And I think we should honor them. I don't think there's any way that people like that shouldn't be honored greatly. But if they're a believer, their honor is far greater where they are than where they were, right? And so let's get it down into the right way. Peter crucified upside down, and yet what did Yeshua tell him? You're going to be one of the guys that's judging the 12 tribes of Israel, right? You guys are going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. I think he's got it pretty good today. How many of you think he does? How many of you think Yeshua sits up there in heaven nursing his wounds? His wounds don't hurt anymore. There's a special thing that goes on with him in that his wounds remain. But, you know, I believe my wounds are all going to be gone. How many of you believe that? I don't think Jacob still has a hollow in his thigh. Do you? I think he's healed now. I think we're all going to be healed. Everything's going to be great when we're with him. So let's just make sure that we can come to the place where we realize dying's not the worst thing that can happen. Now, there is a religious side of this and a religious tone that comes into this sacrificial. And I want to be cautious about it because I don't like for people to get over in that area. I think it's dangerous when we do that. When we just get to the place where we're just suffering for Jesus and we just go around most of the time with kind of a whimper in our voice and we tell everybody, but I'm just concerned for the lost and I just can't get any sleep because I'm just praying you know, there's a telltale tone here. What's it called? Fear and depression, right? Now, you know, I'll tell you what, I hate to get over in this area sometimes because, you know, people have gone to great pains to say what the different ministries look like. And I want to tell you a little secret. I believe a lot of it's hogwash. A lot of it's nonsense. A lot of it's nothing but religion, and it has depressed tones in it. And depressed tones, I don't believe, come from God. I don't believe God's depressed one day in glory. Do you? Is He depressed? Then God sits up, oh my, what are they going to do next? You think that? No, He's not surprised by it. Does He like it? No. Does it depress Him? No. How are you supposed to? I believe that a person who will take his place in the kingdom will stand strong. He's not going to be weak. He's not going to be standing around wringing his hands about all the bad things that are going on the earth. I'm just so concerned about it. I just don't understand it. What's going to happen next? I don't believe that. Do you? I said, do you? If you do, disagree with me. Anybody disagree with me? Well, see, there's a religious part of thing. It's perverted. It's got a tone in it. It's got a self-sacrifice tone about I'm doing it for God. I'm doing this for God, but oh, it's hard, it's hard, it's hard. Remember what Yeshua said about fasting? What did He say about fasting? He said some people, when they fast, like to look like they're fasting. Oh, I've been fasting now for 2 days. For me, it'd be 2 hours. I feel that way. You know, oh, fasting so hard, man. But I'm doing it because the Lord told me to do it, you know. Come on, people. Let's rise up. Let's be adults. He said, wash your face. Comb your hair. Put on some nice clothes and go out where people can see you. And don't appear unto men to be fasting. Don't appear unto men. You know, you might have spent all night in prayer. So what? If the Lord called you to do it, that's not something to go around whining about. You spent all night in prayer, right? It was good, wasn't it? I don't suppose He'd have called you to spend all night in prayer unless He wanted you to get a victory. Do you? Well, no, He called me to spend all night in prayer so then the next day I could just feel really bad and let everybody know how much I've been doing for the kingdom. Are you listening to me? Are you willing to hear? Or are you going to turn your hearing aid off right about now? Tones of depression don't come from God. It's a form of spiritual pride. And in my opinion, and I believe this is what the Scripture is talking about in 1 Corinthians 13, I could give my body to be burned and it profit me nothing. Think of that. That's self-sacrifice, but there's a wrong way to do it. Why? If I have not love. If I don't have the right attitude about it. If I'm not allowing the Lord to do it in me. Then it's a form of spiritual pride and it profits nothing. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before Yeshua, He endured the cross, despising the shame. Was that bad? I got to tell you, it was worse than what Peter went through. Wasn't it? It was the worst sacrifice that has ever been put on a man. You say, how do you know that? Because I know that He took all the sins of the world in His own body on the tree. There can't be anything worse than a sinless sacrifice having all of the sins in the world. He who knew no sin was in a moment of time made to be sin. Scripture says He was not recognizable as human in one translation. His body was so deformed and contorted. I believe it was swollen. I believe that it took on every form of sickness and every form of disease known to man, all 39 of them. Some doctor says there's 39 major categories of sin. He may or may not be right, but I know He took at least 39 stripes, right? 39 stripes. He was beat. But you know, the worst part was being separated. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? There was never a worse time than that, and yet for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Paul said, gladly will I spend and be spent. Can you say that today? Gladly. Say gladly. How does gladly look? Everybody look gladly. Gladly I will spend and be spent. Gladly. Gladly. Dying's not the worst thing. That's just being like Yeshua. I believe that some of us may have to be martyred. Can you settle that today and say, if it's necessary, I can do it? If God tells me that this is the way I have to go, I'll stand firm. I'm not going to give up. I'll be martyred. I would not recant for anything. I've made up my mind. If I had to tell my family goodbye, and I mean that this way, if they had to be taken from me and I had to tell them goodbye and they went and were martyred before me, that would be hard. Hardest thing I can think of. Maybe the hardest thing in the world. But I've made up my mind. I'd have to do it. I could do it. And I know because the joy that's set before me, I can go through it. You can too. You can gladly be spent. You can gladly be spent. You know, there's things you can do to help other people. Do you believe that? There's things that you can do that will help. You can spend and be spent. Do you believe that? Are you starting now to do what we've learned here? Are you looking for ways for that to happen? Are you checking out ways? You know, we say, well, there's so many. They're before us every time we look. There's some new need. Are you looking? No, I'm not talking about looking that way. I'm talking about looking with the heart toward God. Father, show me. Where can I be used? Father, your word says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. Do you believe that? The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. What's a righteous man? Any righteous men, women here? What made you righteous? The blood of Yeshua did it. The blood of Yeshua. The steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So if I'm claiming that scripture, Lord, my steps are ordered of the Lord. I'm claiming it. I believe you do that for me. How many of you believe you'll do it? Do you think it's hit and miss? See, a lot of times I think we do. And because we think it's hit and miss, He hits and we miss. Right? Many times He hits and we miss. We're not looking. We're not seeking. We're not checking out where we can be. How do we do it? It's big. Oh God, it's big. This ministry, this so much. Well, how do you get anything done? Huh? One little piece at a time. And how do you start? How do you start out on something like this? Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know, as soon as I have enough, then I'll really get going. Now, you might as well forget it. You'll never have enough. What? Plant seeds. Be faithful in that which is least. Do you believe that works? Be faithful in that which is least. Be faithful in the little things. Be faithful in those things that may not make a lot of difference to other people, but you be faithful. You start where you are, right now, today. What can I do? Little woman starts into the temple. She's got two mites in her hand. I don't believe anybody else paid a bit of attention to her. But she took those two mites, whatever two mites look like, and she dropped them in the box in the temple. What happened? What happened when she did that? Bob said it earlier. She planted some seeds. I believe she got a big harvest. But the big thing that we noticed immediately was that those that heard from God, and that happened to be Yeshua noticed and made a point of saying, wherever the gospel's preached, this will be spoken of. It's being spoken of again today, isn't it? We're speaking about it. Did you know that we oftentimes don't do things because we think our contribution's too small? You ever feel that way? You know, I hear people give these testimonies about giving airplanes away. I'd like to do that. But you know, let's just face it. Number one, I haven't got an airplane. Number two, my income at this particular point in time and the finances that I have right now aren't going to do it. But is it impossible? No. But what is God looking for in me? He's looking for faithfulness in small things, what I have. Maybe I can't give an airplane, but I can give, started out with 5, 10, 50, 100. Bless God, you know, once in a while He's blessed me to be able to go over 1,000. Just think. That started small, started little. And a lot of times when I was doing it, I think, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And you know, I think God likes that when you say, I just don't know for sure how I'm going to do this. But we do it anyhow. Give yourself. Somebody said, you know, I don't think I can spend any more time. I don't know if I can spend any more time helping people. Well, time's like money, isn't it? It's valuable. That's how you make money. It's with your time. Start where you are and be faithful. Let me just ask you a question. Let's just suppose today that you were entrusted with millions. Had millions of dollars. Your money. In your bank account. Everything you own is paid off. You have absolutely no needs. Now, it doesn't hurt to think like this once in a while. You ever dream with God? I say, do you ever dream with God? You know, God's dreams aren't little like ours are. We dream in little boxes. But when God dreams in us, I believe He could show us things that we could do that are exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. What if you had $150 million? Pastor, that's ridiculous. No, just Wait a second. Just for a minute today, let's think about it. You had 150 million. What would you do? Just dream with me for a second. What would you do? Well, most of your prayer would be asking the Lord, where am I to disperse this? Wouldn't it? I hope you're not saying, man, I'd have me that mansion over there in Malibu. That thing's going to fall off in the ocean one day. You don't want that mansion. I'd have me one up here on the hill. No, that's not what we're... What would you do if you didn't have... You know, you could say, Lord, where did you want me to go today? What did you want me to do today? You say, this is foolishness. We don't have it. Dream. I believe God's looking for people to begin. The Bible says that there's an end time harvest coming. You believe that? There's an end time harvest coming. I believe that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. You believe that? See, I'm trying to get you stirred up a little bit. And here's the reason. Because we haven't been like that. We've all been in a place where, you know, we're prosperous compared to much of the world. But on the other hand, you know, it's only been in recent years that missionaries would even think of having their own plane. I don't think, if you look back at the great missionaries of the past, I don't know that any of them ever owned their own ship. But nowadays, missionaries are owning their own plane. And I've heard them tell me testimonies of how God told them in the middle of the night, I want you in China tomorrow. And I don't want you to have to try to find a flight and work things out. I want you there. I want you to go. And so, you know, a Citation 10 would get there, wouldn't it? Quick. It's faster than anything but military. Think of that. Now, you know, I got to tell you that, you know, I've had people prophesy over me and say, one day in the ministry you'll have aircraft. And to be honest with you, it's never been a great desire of my heart. But, you know, I sure wouldn't mind some of you having them, and I'd fly with you. Amen? I wouldn't mind that at all. And I believe that God... Did you know that one of the motivational gifts of Scripture is giving? Giving. I believe there can be some great giving going on. Some great times of giving. So what if you were entrusted with unlimited resources? Or let's just say God did this for this whole congregation. Unlimited resources. Could He use us? You suppose God could use some people like that? Why do you think maybe that's not happening more? Can you be honest with me? We don't believe it could happen. And many of us, because we don't believe it could happen, if we get any windfall, we look for some place to blow it. I've actually heard people say that. I wasn't expecting this. I'm just going to blow this. What do you suppose in God's economy that makes Him think about you? Can you be trusted? Are you trustworthy? See, I believe love would be looking for a place to give it away. Wouldn't it be wonderful to come to somebody and say, brother, pray with me. I need your help. Pray with me today because I got so much and I've got to get God's mind on where this is supposed to go. Wouldn't that be a great thing? Wouldn't that be good? I've got so much time on my hands. Oh, but we have to work. Listen, you'd be working. You'd be working. You'd just be working for a new master. You might even own three or four businesses and have trustworthy people set in charge of them making money. I don't know. If we can gladly be spent. If we'll gladly spend and be spent. I think God's looking to anoint some in special ways of prosperity. I believe God wants the whole body of Christ to come out of a poverty mentality. I believe God wants us all, and not for the purpose so that we can go around in the finest clothes. I need a $1,200 suit. I don't know what I'd do with one. Need a couple of pairs of $2,000 boots. All they're for is to keep the manure off your feet, right? I think I can do with less than that. No, I'm not looking for ways to spend money in lavish lifestyle. But I really believe that God's looking for people that He can anoint in this ministry of giving. To be givers, ministers free from limitation. Can God use you in bigger ways? Say it with me. God, You can use me. Say Hineni. Hineni. That means here am I. Here am I. Hineni. Hineni. Use me. Lord, if I'm not seeing into this area where money can come into my life and where resources can come into my life and you're wanting to open my eyes to this, I pray today You will open my eyes. Say, God, You can use me. You can use me in bigger ways. Say, I'm willing. Say it loud, I'm willing. I'm willing to be used in bigger ways than I've ever thought about. I'm willing, God. I choose to believe. Did you know that's the way believing starts? You choose to do it. I choose to believe. I choose to believe. You start thinking this way. Start thinking this way. You get apart sometime and just say, Lord, I want to just dream with You today. Show me what it is You would have for me. I believe I have a destiny. I believe there's a destiny for the people of God. I believe You're wanting to show us a destiny. I want to minister as You want me to minister. Expand my vision. He says in one of the places in Scriptures, spread out your tent stakes. Get bigger thoughts. It's time to do that. I'm willing. How can You use me, God? How can You use me? How can You use me? I could tell you some stories about people that have been used by God to bless us. Bless this church. People come in here occasionally. We've had people come in here, people that don't even go here regularly, and write out checks for $4,000 and $5,000 occasionally. You know, it doesn't happen all the time, but it's happened. Well, you know, I believe it's people with that kind of vision. People that'll go someplace and just, you know, sit down and say, God's here and I'm listening to You, God. What do You want me to do? And He says, you know, do this. I had a man come in here one time and some of you may remember this. Paul Brandt was here. And Paul said, you know, we've never, as I understand it, there's never been an offering received for the pastor here. Just for the pastor. And he said, we're going to receive an offering for the pastor today. And I go, you know, to me, that's just not the way I do things. I would never even think of that. Never want anybody to do that. But they did it that day. And there was a gentleman here that has come to this church maybe four or five times. Gave me a check, personal check, not written out to the church, but a personal check for $1,000 that day. And you say, well, you know, why did you need it? Well, no, I can't say that I particularly needed it. Did it help? Yeah, it helped a lot. It wasn't like I was going to, you know, perish without it. But you know, God's not looking for you to be in great need before He gives to you. Did you know that? Look at the pictures in the king's palace. When people came to visit King Solomon, did he need anything? Did they bring anything? Well, yeah, the queen of the south came with great gifts and lavished them on him. By the same token, when he went to see her, he took gifts. It was just kind of the way things went. I believe God will put resources where people will be faithful. Where people will be used by God to bless others. That's the way I want to be. I want to be known for someone that blesses people. And you know, if you have a need, I want to be right on top of blessing you. I really do. I want to be in the middle of it. And you know, what do we look at always? Well, what have we got in our lunchbox? Only 5 loaves and 2 fish. What are we going to do? Are we going to wait on God? Or are we going to just say, can't do it? Bottom line is, we can't do it. No, I believe we can. Do you? Stand with me. Let's bless God. Hallelujah. I believe God's opened some eyes today to some possibilities. It may not happen overnight, praise God. Probably won't. But I believe things are changing. And I know there are people here that have a heart for this. I know that there are people here that have already begun to see it. And I believe there's others that are going to see it. And I believe as this goes forth, people are going to be more and more attuned with what God's saying. If He can use you to get His money to other people, man, just think what He can do with the other gifts of the Spirit. You'll be obedient. Father, thank You. Thank you. Thank you. I praise you today in the name of Yeshua. I bless you and praise you and thank you today in Yeshua's name for all that you've done for us, for all that you will do for us. I am so blessed. I care so much, Lord, that you have blessed us with this knowledge. We don't take it lightly and we don't approach you in a casual manner about this, for you are a holy God. And so we ask you, Father, to continue to reveal this great, wonderful love of God in each one of us. Cause us to be filled with that love like we've never known. And Lord, more than anything else, show us how to distribute it. Show us how to spread it around. Show us how to meet needs by looking and finding those areas that you would have us fix something by the power of the Holy Spirit. To even take the burden upon ourselves for someone else. To take that burden on me and then to cast it on you because you're the one that cares for us ultimately. We take the burden, we deal with it and fix it as best we can, but we do it by casting it over on you. Thank you, Father. Get our attention in this manner, Father. We pray in the name of Yeshua. Amen. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom. In the name of Yeshua. Amen.